This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. My beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Thank you, Jazakallah Khair, for joining us this episode 35 of our series, The Blessed Women Around the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And we've been talking about our mother, Safiya binti Huyay, radiallahu anha, Safiya, the daughter of Huyay. In our last two episodes, we went into detail discussing who Huyay was, who Safiya's dad was. And we said that he was of the worst of the enemies of Islam, and that he had tried many attempts to harm Islam and to personally kill the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He had betrayed his treaty, he had tried to assassinate the Prophet ﷺ, he had brought all the enemies of Islam together in the Ahzab battle, and he had brought them into Medina, and he was the one that also convinced the Banu Qurayza to break their alliance with the Prophet ﷺ in the middle of the Battle of the Trench, which was perhaps of the worst moments for the Prophet ﷺ and the Muslims. And as a result, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of course defeated the Ahzab, and Huyay lost. He was then taken captive, him and his son, and he was executed. So understand that the daughter of Huyay, our mother Safiya, her dad was executed by the Prophet ﷺ and her brother. And we ask, how did she then become the wife of the Prophet ﷺ? So we mentioned that our mother Safiya, she was about 19 years old at the time. She was previously married twice before, so she had a husband, and either he died or he divorced her. And then she was married to another man called Kinana. And she lived in the city of Khaybar. Now remember, we said that Safiya was born in Medina. She was there when the Prophet ﷺ entered Medina. When her father broke the treaty, she and all the people of the Banu Nadir, her father's tribe, were expelled because they tried to assassinate the Prophet ﷺ, and they lived in the city of Khaybar. Now Khaybar supported the invasion of Medina, and therefore as a retaliation, the Prophet ﷺ would invade Khaybar. And we said earlier on, in terms of jihad, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to live peacefully with all peoples of this world, whether they are Muslim or non-Muslim. But of course, if they attack us, and they harm us, and they invade our country, and then we have the right to defend ourselves, and we have the right to retaliate. So of course, Khaybar invaded Medina first, and they lost. So as a retaliation, the Prophet ﷺ invaded Khaybar. So the Muslims come to Khaybar early in the morning, and after besieging the city, Khaybar was a fortified city. After a long period of besieging them, by the grace of Allah, and Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu played a huge role in this, he was the leader of the army, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted them victory, and the people of Khaybar surrendered. So the people of Khaybar actually entered into a treaty of peace. And once again, this shows you, even in war, even if you fight us, if there is a room for peace and there's a room for a treaty, we do that. And we forgive the sins and we make a treaty of peace. So the people of Khaybar entered into a peace agreement. Safiya is in the city, and her husband was one of the senior leadership. He was in fact the treasurer of Khaybar. But unfortunately for him and a friend of his, they broke the treaty and they tried to smuggle some goods out of Khaybar, and they tried to steal, so they were captured. Because this was a breach of the treaty, their punishment was also execution. So in a hadith of Bukhari, where two people were executed from Khaybar, this is Safiya's husband, her second husband, and another man, and their wives, the wives of these two men, Safiya and the other man's wife, they were taken prisoner by Bilal. They were escorted and taken prisoner. And as they walk by, they actually see the dead bodies of their husbands. And the one woman is screaming and shrieking, and she's of course extremely, you can imagine, she just sees her husband being executed. And the other woman is completely silent. She's like numb. The one that is numb is our mother, Safiya. And when the Prophet ﷺ sees this, and he sees that these two men are executed, and their wives actually see this, he is very, very hard with Bilal. And he says to Bilal, you know, what's wrong with you? Has Allah taken the mercy out of your heart that you allow the women to see their husbands being executed? Even though they are enemies, even though they have done what they have done, this is not how we treat our prisoners of war. And he said, take the women away. So Safiya, our mother, she would have lost her father, her brother, and her husband. And now she is taken as a prisoner of war. She becomes a slave because she was taken captive. And inshallah, in our next personality, when we speak about our mother Maria, we will speak about in detail about slavery and the women that are taken as captives. So because of the laws of jihad, she falls into the lot of booty, and she is taken as a as a captive by a Sahabi called Dihya al-Kalbi. So the Sahabi's name is Dihya. Just a side tidbit here. Dihya was a very, very handsome Sahabi. Very beautiful looking companion. And Jibreel, when Jibreel would come to visit the Prophet ﷺ, sometimes he would come in the form of Dihya. So people would say, ah, the Prophet is talking to Dihya, but in actual fact it's Jibreel. So Dihya asked the Prophet ﷺ, can I take one of the prisoners as a slave? So the Prophet says, take one of them. So he took Safiya. The Prophet ﷺ saw this, and he was unaware who Safiya was, and he would have seen her beauty, he would have seen what she looks like, and he said, Dihya, take as you wish. And so another companion comes to the Prophet ﷺ and says, Ya Rasulullah, that woman that Dihya took is Safiya. She's the daughter of Huyay. She's the princess of Khaybar. How can you just give her like that to Dihya? So the Prophet ﷺ calls Dihya back, and he says, Dihya, you need to return her. And the Prophet ﷺ paid him or said, take something else. I need to speak to this lady. Now, the first time that Safiya and the Prophet ﷺ would engage, she has now been expelled. And again, I want you to understand how awkward this meeting is. She was expelled from her home. Her father was executed. Her brother was executed. Her husband was executed. She's taken as prisoner of war. Of course, she blames the Prophet ﷺ for all of this. It's natural. And Safiya says this to us in Ibn Sa'd's history. He quotes that Safiya said that the Prophet ﷺ was the most hated man to me ever. I mean, I hated him. Everything that befell me was because of him. I blamed him. And now I was going to meet him for the first time. So she said, the very first time I met the Prophet ﷺ, he began to profusely apologize. And he says, oh Safiya, I'm really sorry for what befell you. But understand, and he explains, look at what your dad did. Look at what your brother did. Look at what your husband did. And he explains, your dad did all these things against me. And she said, he continued to explain the situation to me until all my hatred for him had disappeared. I completely understood what he was saying. That everything he did it, he was justified in what he did. That my dad was actually the bad guy. So the Prophet explains to her and he tries to, and final again, like we said, he's the chief. The Prophet ﷺ is the winner. He could take what he wants. He could do with what he wanted with Safiya. He had no reason to apologize to her or to explain to her, but he took this time to try and explain to her why this happened. And he empathized with her. Look, at the end of the day, this was your dad, this was your husband, this was your brother. Of course, you'd feel natural sense of hurt, and he understood that with her. Then Safiya, as they were talking, the Prophet ﷺ notices on her face that she had a bruise on her eye. So he said to her, what is this bruise on your eye? So Safiya said, my husband, who just had been executed, he hit me. Because a few days before the Prophet ﷺ entered Khaybar, she said, I had this dream where I would see the moon falling into my lap all the time. And so when I told this to my husband, the man said, ah, you are in love with Muhammad, you are in love with the king of Medina, and you want to marry him. So he hit me basically in my face. And this is from that. Then she says to him, I want to tell you something important. There's something that she wants to tell the Prophet ﷺ. So she says, you know, the day he comes to Medina. Now remember, when the Prophet ﷺ came to Medina, she and her father were in Medina. They were there. Banu Nadir was there. So she says that, I remember the day you came to Medina. That day, my dad was very agitated. And my uncle, who is a rabbi, so her uncle is a priest, a rabbi, the two of them got together and they went out to meet you. And she says, I was the most loved niece or the most loved daughter of my family. I remember we said Safiya is short, she's petite, she's delicate, she's very cute, she's very loving, she's a very, very soft girl. And she says that, you know, my dad and my uncle, whenever they would see me, they couldn't resist to pick me up and kiss me and hug me. So she says, I remember the day you came to Medina. The two of them were talking, they went out and they said they're going to go to meet you and they're going to discuss these issues with you. So the Prophet ﷺ remembers the days Huyay and his brother came to debate with him. And she says they stayed away the whole day from the morning until the evening. And about Maghrib time, they come back home and they're completely exhausted. You know, they look exhausted. They look frustrated. And she says, I came to greet them, but they completely ignored me. They didn't even speak to me. They didn't even notice me. But I heard what they said. While they were talking, my uncle asked my dad, the rabbi asks the father, look, what do you say about this man? Do you recognize him? Is he a prophet? So Huyay said, he is a prophet. Confirmed, we recognize him. So then her dad said, what are we going to do? Are we going to support this man? What are we going to do? He's a prophet. So Huzayfa says, I will never support him. And I will oppose him until the day I die. And in fact, that's what he did. But this left an impression on Safiya. She thought, if this man is a truthful prophet, why are we not supporting him? Of course, she followed her family. She was still a young girl. And then when she was expelled, she left with her family. But she says these things continue to play in her mind, that she understood and she knew from her dad that the Prophet ﷺ was true. So now the Nabi ﷺ says to Safiya, look, now that you know all the facts, I have spoken to you, I give you two options. I will pay your ransom, I will set you free personally, and I'll send you home to Khaybar, and you can live your life as a Jew amongst your people. I won't take anything from you. Or I can offer you that if you embrace Islam, if you'd like to and embrace Islam, I will personally marry you. I want to propose marriage to you. Again, why did the Prophet ﷺ do this? Once again, we said from this marriage, he knows Safiya is an elite woman. She's a very prominent member of the community of Khaybar. Perhaps in this kind of marriage, it would be an opportunity for the Bani Israel, for the Yahud, to be softened, to be drawn closer to the Prophet ﷺ as a means, like the other marriages, to bring Islam closer to them. Also, our mother Safiya is a princess. She's a well-to-do lady. She, if she were to marry anyone, as the Sahabi says, no one is suitable. No one is suitable for her except the Prophet ﷺ himself. No one should have the honor of marrying her except the Prophet ﷺ. Now, naturally, of course, when we look at this, many historians from outside of Islam, they will say that Safiya was taken by force. We know from our records here that the Prophet ﷺ offered her an option here in marriage. You can either go back and live amongst your people, or you can be my wife. This is the option. And there would be no repercussions on her. The Prophet ﷺ did not force her into slavery. The Prophet ﷺ did not force her and made her his concubine. This is unanimously agreed upon. She was not a concubine. She was not a slave woman. She was set free and offered the option of marriage. And she chose, subhanAllah, after spending about a few meetings with the Prophet ﷺ back and forth. This wasn't immediate. And her iddah, of course, she's still in her iddah because her husband had been killed. So she now accepts the proposal and she accepts to be the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And also it was in this time, just a side note here, that while the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in Khaybar, a Jewish woman brought a plate of food and presented it as a gift to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Him and a bunch of Sahaba, they came together to eat from this. And when he brought the food to his mouth, this it was a lamb or a goat, and he tasted the meat, he tasted that there was poison in it, and he told the Sahaba to stop. One of them unfortunately ate from it, and he was severely sick. The Prophet was also severely sick with this. When the lady was brought forward and questioned, she of course confessed, and the Prophet ﷺ said, let this woman go, set her free. But when the other companion died, so the Prophet ate and another Sahabi ate, the other companion passed away because of the poison, he called her back and he had her executed because of this. And the Prophet ﷺ himself suffered from the sickness of this poison, but he survived, walhamdulillah. So a month goes by, Safiya accepts and she becomes the wife of the Prophet ﷺ, and they get married just outside Khaybar. And as is the custom, obviously, once you're married, the nikah is only complete if you consummate the marriage. The Prophet ﷺ approaches her and he goes to his wife, you know, to spend the evening with his wife. And Safiya says no. She says she rejects him. Now, the Prophet ﷺ was a bit annoyed by this, naturally. And he says, no problem. If this is not what you want, no problem. And he leaves her. Again, it shows you the kind of man the Prophet ﷺ was. As they continue back to Medina, Safiya says that she's ready to consummate the marriage. And they consummate the marriage, and he asks her, why did she reject him initially? Do you perhaps have second thoughts? Is there something that you don't want? Because there's no compulsion here. If you'd like to go back and we understand why, there's no compulsion here. So she said no, she has absolutely no reservations. She's more than happy to be his wife. But she felt that we're still very close to Khaybar. Someone had just tried to kill you. I feel it's safer that we be together in a place that is safe and secure. Now, even the Sahaba, it must be understood, even the Sahaba felt, whoa, we're not so sure about this girl. She's been through a lot, and so much hurt has come upon her, basically through the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Someone just tried to kill the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We don't trust her. So they were quite worried that maybe she's an undercover spy. So After the evening, the next morning, after Safiya and the Prophet ﷺ had consummated the marriage, the Prophet ﷺ comes outside and he sees at the door Abu Layyub al-Ansari, one of the great companions, and he says to Abu Layyub, "What are you doing here?" So he said, "Look, I didn't trust this woman. I was scared she's going to try something." And the Prophet ﷺ basically mildly says, "Look, there was no problems. The evening was spent between us, we husband and wife. She's very happy. I'm very happy. Well, alhamdulillah." Sahaba mentioned how, because Safiya was a very short girl, a very pampered girl, she wasn't very good at riding. So whenever she needed to get onto a horse or a camel, the Prophet, peace be upon him, he would make the camel kneel, and then he himself would kneel. So one, like you know how they show when a man proposes to a woman, he gets on one knee, he would get down on one knee, and she would stand on his other knee and climb on top like a step. Now, to us as men, subhanAllah, how many of us actually even open the door for our wives or close the door behind our wives or pull the chair out? Here the Prophet ﷺ uses himself as a step to allow Safiya to get onto a camel. And the Sahaba mentioned how when they journeyed back to Medina, the Prophet ﷺ even shared his camel with us. He brought the camel down and he put his cloak as a cushion for her to sit. And she sat behind him and she held onto him. And this is how the Prophet ﷺ traveled with her back to Medina. And this became very clear now to the Sahaba that this is the wife of the Prophet ﷺ. He put her in hijab as well, because now she also has to practice that higher level of hijab as all the other wives. And so now she joins the wives of the Prophet ﷺ. She becomes one of our mothers. So what was it like for our mother Safiya to join the ranks of her fellow wives? There's a weak narration in Ibn Majah, and Allah A'lam if it's correct. It mentions how when the Prophet, peace be upon him, returns to Medina, Aisha of course is very excited to see her husband. She's been waiting for him. Then she finds, so she comes to meet the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then she finds out, he's taken a wife from the Bani Israel. He's taken Safiya as his wife, and so she leaves. And as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sees her leaving, he comes down and he consoles her and he says, "What do you think of Safiya?" So basically Aisha says, "I haven't seen anything other than a Jewish woman. There's nothing special that I've seen. She's just another Jew." And it must be mentioned here that our mother, Safiya, got a really tough time. She obviously has left her family. She's in a strange land. And also we must mention, from being a very pampered, living in a very luxurious life that she would have been as a princess of Bani Israel, to living a very rugged, difficult life. The Prophet ﷺ, of course, didn't have much in terms of worldly possessions. And so she had to live a very tough life amongst the Arabs. And furthermore, she received a very hostile treatment from her fellow co-wives. She tried her best to blend in. She would, for example, give expensive gifts to the other wives of the Prophet ﷺ, and to Fatima in particular, the daughter of the Prophet ﷺ. She tried to become very close. So we see a lady trying very much to be accepted by her, now her new family. And still, she would constantly feel on the outside. So once the Prophet ﷺ comes and he finds her crying, you know, bitterly, and he says, "Oh Safiya, what's wrong? Why are you crying?" So she says, "You know, Aisha and Hafsa keep calling me a Jewish woman. And they keep telling me that I have a deficient lineage. Whereas they are from the Quraysh, they are the relatives of the Prophet ﷺ. They have a high lineage, where she is just a Jewish woman and has no lineage." So the Prophet ﷺ says to her, he says, "Safiya, next time Hafsa or Aisha or anyone questions your lineage, tell them that I am Safiya, the daughter of the Prophet Harun, the niece of Prophet Musa, and the wife of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So my lineage is actually higher than your lineage." Also, we find in another beautiful narration about the relationship she had, Safiya, our mother, naturally, we said she was a bit lonely, and the company that she loved the most was, of course, that of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So she mentions how one night the Prophet, peace be upon him, is in the masjid, he's performing itikaf, so he's sleeping in the masjid. She, of course, missed him very much, so she went to visit him. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam accepts her, and they get talking in the masjid, just something that she needed to do to speak to him. And when the time came for her to return home, now listen to this, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "No, look, you can't go home, it's late at night, and it's not very far we're talking about, let me accompany you." So he actually left the masjid, we would say he broke his itikaf, and he escorted her to her house. Along the way, as they are walking, it's the middle of the night, the Prophet ﷺ is walking with his wife Safiya, two Sahaba come by, they see, and they run away. So the Prophet, peace be upon him, calls them, and he says, "Come back, hey, guys, come back. I want you to know that this is Safiya, my wife. I'm not here with a strange woman." So the Sahaba said, Subhanallah, how would we think that you, Ya Rasulullah, are having inappropriate clandestine meetings with strange women? So the Prophet says, no, the shaitan flows through us like blood flows through us, and he puts insinuations in our minds. We sometimes see something and we jump to incorrect conclusions, and we need to, and this is why we need to stop. If we have an opportunity to prevent this from happening, we should do this. So as the Quran says, avoid suspicion, avoid dhan, avoid these thoughts in our minds that are negative. Always give the person the benefit of the doubt, especially in your mind. Another narration which shows you the softness that the Prophet had for her. He was very soft with her because he knew she was delicate. She was always crying basically. We said this before, on the way for Hajj. So the Prophet ﷺ, a few months before he passed away, he went on Hajj, and Safiya and all the wives are going with him on Hajj. Along the way, Safiya begins to fall behind. Why? Because she's not a great rider. She herself is not very good on a camel. She's not experienced. And as she falls behind, she begins to panic, and all she can do is begin to cry. So she begins to cry and the tears are flowing. And the Prophet ﷺ looks back and he sees there is Safiya crying. So he stops everybody. He turns around and he comes to her. He lowers the camel and he takes her with his own hands. He takes her off the camel. She says, Safiya is telling us, he like cups her face in his hands and he uses his thumbs to wipe away her tears and say, it's okay, it's okay. And she's getting upset and she says, you gave me a bad camel. So, you know, as it is sometimes, the wife struggles and then the only one she blames the husband. So yeah, she blames the Prophet. She says, you gave me a bad camel, he's a weak camel, and look at me, I'm falling behind. And the Prophet says, it's okay, and he wipes away her tears. And she says, the more he wipes my tears and the more he's soft with me and consoles me, the more she begins to cry hysterically. And so the Prophet ﷺ looks around. He sees our mother, the other wife, Zainab bint Jahsh, which we said had some money. She had more than one camel. So the Prophet says to Zainab, look, Zainab, give Safiya one of your other camels. She's complaining over this camel. Can you give her, can you lend her another camel? Zainab says, what, to this Jewish lady? Never, I'm not going to give her anything. And so the Prophet was very upset with Zainab. In fact, it's mentioned that a few weeks went by where the Prophet didn't even speak to Zainab because of this. So the Prophet realizes Safiya is inconsolable. So as a mercy for her, there's 100,000 people on this expedition with you, on this journey for Hajj. And he says to everyone, look, Safiya is not like feeling very well. She's upset. Let's just stop here and we rest for the evening, subhanAllah. And it so happened that it was Safiya's night to be with the Prophet ﷺ. So Safiya now, everyone stops because of her. The tent is put up. She must go to the tent. So she goes to Aisha and she says to Aisha, Aisha, you know that I wouldn't give up my night with the Prophet for all the wealth in the world. If you were to give me all the wealth in the world, I wouldn't sell that night to be with the Prophet ﷺ. Now it shows you again how much she loved him and what kind of husband he must have been. So she says, but I upset him. I'm worried that I frustrated him. Because of me, everyone is stopped now. The whole Hajj is stopped because of me. So I will give you, Aisha, my night. I will give it to you if you speak to him and make him happy with me again. So Aisha says, well, basically you can imagine the smile on her face. No problem. If that's what you want, you want to give me your night. So she takes some perfume, she puts it on, she dresses with some nice clothing, and she goes to the Prophet ﷺ. The Prophet says to her, oh, Aisha, it's not your night. Why are you here? It's Safiya's night. So she explains to the Prophet ﷺ, look, me and Safiya agreed. And so the Prophet says, if that's the agreement between you and Safiya, then no problem. Aisha, also just an interesting side note here. Aisha says, there was no one who cooked as good as Safiya. Safiya was the absolute best cook of all. And once, again, Safiya probably didn't get the memo, the Prophet was with Aisha, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then Safiya went to and sent a barakat, as we would say, a plate of food to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Aisha didn't like this, and of course that plate found itself on the ground. She threw it on the floor. It broke. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam reminded her that she had to replace the plate that she broke, give Safiya a new one. To also show you the love that Safiya had for the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we find a very interesting narration. As the Prophet, peace be upon him, was dying, he was on his deathbed, and all his wives were around him, so he gathered all of them, and he began to speak to them and advise them. Safiya burst into tears again. As we said, she's the softest of all, she's crying again, and she says to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how I wish that I was the one dying and not you. Like, I can't bear to see you like this. I wish our tables could be turned. And the other wives, they like roll their eyes, you know, like, ah, Safiya's being dramatic. And the Prophet says to all of them, go wash your mouths out. And they said, for what? So he said, because of what you basically meant. For indeed, Safiya is telling the truth. She genuinely feels that she would swap places. Another incident to show you how the Prophet ﷺ would defend her, even in her absence. Once the Prophet ﷺ was with Aisha, and they saw Safiya in the distance, and so Aisha says to the Nabi ﷺ, "Don't you think Safiya is a little bit," and she made a motion with her hands, basically saying, "Don't you think she's a bit short? Isn't she? Don't you think she's quite short?" So the Prophet says to Aisha, "You know, that thing which you just said now, or you made now, if you were to put that in the ocean, it would make the entire ocean bitter. You basically made something bad about Safiya in her absence." So the Prophet would defend her. After the death of the Prophet ﷺ, and they only lived 4 years together, we said Safiya was about 20 years old, the Prophet was about 57 years old or 59 years old when they got married. There was about a 40-year age gap between the two of them. Safiya continued to live in Medina amongst the Muslims, and still, as we said, she found herself sometimes on the outside. Once one of her slaves came and went to Sayyidina Umar privately and said, "You know, I think Safiya is still a Jew, a hidden Jew from the Bani Israel, because she still visits them often and she still practices the Sabbath." So Sayyidina Umar questioned her and asked her, "Is this true?" So Safiya said, "Oh Umar, I only keep in touch with my family, and Islam does not stop me from being good to my family and my relatives, even if they're non-Muslim," which is correct. And she says, "As for the Sabbath, since I've been practicing Jumu'ah," meaning since I've been a Muslim, "I have never ever felt the need to practice the Sabbath." And she goes to her slave and says, "Why would you lie about me like this?" So her slave says, "Look, basically I have no excuse. Maybe the slave was upset with her." So Safiya said, "Just go and leave." About 30 years after the death of the Prophet ﷺ, Safiya would continue to live for another 35 years after the Prophet ﷺ into her 60s. And she passes away and is embedded in Medina. And we say, As-salam to our mother, Safiya. And a very important point we find here, we said Safiya is the only woman from the wives of the Prophet ﷺ who actually is from a Jewish background, to show you that Islam is not anti-Semitic. We have no problem with someone from a Jewish background if they, you know, there is nothing wrong in, from an Islamic perspective, for a person of a Jewish background and a Muslim to have good relations simply because that person is a Jew. It is when someone acts contrary to that, and when someone actually harms Islam, then we retaliate. And we said, in fact, if you look at the Sharia, the closest people in terms of their belief system and the Sharia or the Bani Israel, in fact. And that is why Islam even permits men to marry a non-Muslim woman, a Jewish woman or a Christian woman, even if they don't embrace Islam, which is a controversial issue, inshallah. In our next episode, we'll discuss this question: why can men marry Jewish and Christian women, but Muslim women cannot marry Jewish and Christian men? We'll talk about that in our next episode. For any questions, concerns, westmuhammad@gmail.com. JazakAllah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.